I'm going to call our special board meeting to order at 6:31 on May 22nd, 2022. First item of business is we're going to look at the Class D water share bids. We have three bids here. We have one, two, three. We have three bids and one that was late. Okay, so we have one that's late. We have two that was on time. We'll open them. The first one is Curtis McCormick is willing to pay $75 per share on the water Johnson Water is putting up for lease. I'm willing to take all the shares that are available. Thank you for the opportunity. So that's Curtis.
$75.
And we advertise it with on top of assessments, right?
None of your minimum was 50.
It was 50.
Yeah, I found out that their minimum was 75. Should have.
What's that?
I found out that their minimum for 5 shares is $75.
For
direct launch.
Is it really? Well, we got them. We met that number there. That's interesting. That's a good thing.
That's a good point.
Assessment.
75. Yeah.
Minimum assessment. Minimum price. Yeah. We have a minimum over there too, but it's I think twice that. Is it 75 per
share?
No, I mean all per share?
Yes.
On assessments?
No, on
surcharge.
Is that 75 spring and all or how is that?
I don't know,
because I don't have just the five, but you don't know.
Somebody told me it was 75, so I'm not sure.
All right.
Maybe a surcharge. What's his email?
Here's the second from Terry Scholes. Dear Johnson Water Improvement District, I would like to submit a bid for $100 per share for 2 shares. So, what do you want me to do with the late one? Look at it. It was supposed to be here on the 23rd by 3 p.m. and it was here on the 24th at 8 a.m.
They were sitting out here waiting for me to get in.
That's me, by the way.
What's that?
Right, you guys open and that was me, by the way.
This is yours?
It is.
Okay.
I apologize for being late.
What's your name, sorry?
Jack Jensen.
Yes. Okay.
I think it's just less than 21.
Where do you live?
I'm buying that place in Richard Ross,
oh,
right there.
Okay.
We're actually moving in next week.
Yes,
was that was his rental as well, or he was renting out the house?
He used to rent it, but yeah, I bought it in March. We've been doing lots of renovations and stuff, and they're finally done, so.
So you said, is that right?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Historically, we've not been able to accept late bids. And this, I don't know if there's any. I mean, it's always at the board's discretion, but we have rejected them in the past when they're late. The last go around, we had a late bid that we rejected as well.
That it.
So,
most we can sell for
21.
If we do, we have. It's a yearly deal, so. I think it would be hard for us to go, and like I said, the precedent is that we can't accept the late bid because we advertised it at that late.
So let me ask you a question. Did you get the letter that was mailed out to you?
So we actually went and picked that up last night after it was already, I get off work at 6 o'clock, so I came in and swung in on the way. I'm staying up in White Rocks, on the White Rocks Highway, so... got that and realized, oh shoot, didn't realize that I was going to be late.
When did we mail those off?
Friday. So we did Friday.
So how did you get the letter?
We came last night after I got off work, and I came.
So it was in the mailbox or something.
So we mailed it this last Friday, like 3 days, 4 days ago, or a week before.
The week before.
Yeah, right after.
Whatever. Just after our meeting, whatever that was.
Yeah, I think it was Friday.
13th. Friday the 13th.
That's right. No, yeah, that would have been the 13th.
And it didn't show up in your mailbox?
Well, I don't make it down there all the time because I'm staying up there, but...
How much did Curtis bid? How many shares did Curtis bid on?
Whatever is available. He said he'll take everything that's available.
You have a share or two that you...
I've got two shares.
Two shares now. What's the problem? Because if you do a late, you open yourself to late.
Well, yeah.
It's a unique situation, but...
I'm sure where you didn't get it till last night, you know, and they were here in the morning before I got here. So.
What you could do is...
When was the deadline again?
Yes.
See if Curtis wants to lease, yesterday, sublease it to him.
I don't know if... I mean, that would have to be something set outside of our influence.
That's right. I mean, but that's...
But yeah, they could work something out there, I'm sure. So this basically... Parent high bid, obviously the high bid on this is for two shares of 100, which leaves us a balance of 8. The next bid is 75, which he wants whatever is left or whatever available, so he'll take it all.
So that was on the other 8 shares.
Yeah, so it's covered. We have it in these two. I mean, obviously that bid there could be higher than Curtis or Terry, but... That's not the issue.
Well, it's for a year. They'll probably come up. I'm assuming they'll come up again next spring.
Okay. Sounds good. I can try to talk to Curtis too.
Yeah.
As I understand, it's late and everything.
Well, we're a public entity, and we have to abide
by rules. Oh, I get it.
Yeah, it becomes quite the train wreck if we don't. In fact, by abiding by the rules in the past, we have had, even doing the right thing, we've had a lot of expense go out from problems. So,
I guess at this point, I would say you need to talk to Curtis and see if you can work out. If he,
I'll talk to him. What I can figure out.
Just let him know that you got it put in late and see if he would.
Okay.
That's my thought. I would agree. So you got the Richard Gross place over here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the one over where your his rental would be Class C, which is the different class, so you wouldn't be able to take it over there.
Yeah, that's just this one right across the ditch right there.
Okay.
Yeah, Richard is sold that, so now he's on that. This is one here.
The
guess you'll find out how bad Curtis needs it or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's grown that grass. I don't know. Maybe he'll need a lot of it.
Did he end up planting the rest of that?
I don't know if he did. It looks like from what... And I wasn't here last year either, but it looks like the same stuff that was there last year.
Oh.
I don't think he could have last year.
Huh?
I don't think he harvested.
He didn't pull any out. But I just wonder if he planted the other portion of his field that he left vacant.
I'm not sure.
Because last year he left it in because of the water concerns. Having, you know, tight water here, you didn't want to spend all that money and then burn it up. Sorry.
No worries. That's rules are rules, I understand.
Yeah, it's whether we like it or not, unfortunately. Especially where it's been enforced. This isn't the first time in water share leasing we've had to enforce that.
So, has anybody heard on what amount of water per share is allowed yet?
On D, we're right at 1 acre foot.
1 acre foot. Perfect. That means my math will be good.
We should gain.
You think so?
Yeah. That's where we're starting at. So.
Where did you start last year? That seems lower than last year.
7.
Oh, you're ahead of last year.
Yeah.
73, I think.
73.
So you're ahead of it then. That's better. Last year you ended up actually quite
well.
Surprisingly well.
We tripped on sand wash, but Moonlight, we're going backwards now, so I don't think we're...
It's still going down?
I think it's
cooled off. The river's just shut off.
Yeah.
So, but there's still snow up there. There's a chance.
And a few good rainstorms can make
turn around. We're better than we were last year. So.
We're being optimistic.
Yep.
Last year, the Lord blessed us well.
Well, thanks for coming.
All summer long.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the neighborhood, even though we couldn't give you a welcome gift.
That's give me the opportunity, though. That's not for me. Yeah. Doing the water, you meet a lot of neighbors.
Yeah.
You don't want to meet.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
15 minutes.
We got 15 minutes till the first interview shows. I thought I was at the interview. But what would the board would like to do with this on awarding the 10 shares that we put up for auction?
I'd say we give Terry 2 and Curtis 8.
Okay. Is that a motion?
I will make that motion. Second call.
Okay. Paul moved. Dan seconded that we grant Terry Scholes as the high bidder, the two shares at $100 per share. And Curtis McCormick being second high with the remaining balance of 8 shares at $75 per share. This will be on top of assessments. Is there any discussion? This is for 1 year, for 2023, or 2022. Hearing none, call for the question. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
It appears to be unanimous. It's unfortunate. Why is it seem to be that we've enforced it? I don't know how we could have not opened up a can of worms.
Well, if it's mailed out, not our responsibility to check the mail out.
Yeah, it was a little tight schedule. You know, they had a little better in a week, or about a week, I guess, the time they got it. But it gets hard. Okay, would you care to give us kind of an overview of the three?
Wes Hamburger will be the one at 7 o'clock. He's the one out of Henderson, Nevada, that works for Henderson City. He's worked for other water districts, such as Santa Clara and St. George. He's got his D3 water distribution license. Supervisor for asbestos abatement certification, Class A CDL, with tanker doubles and triples endorsements. confined space entry, certifications, heavy equipment operator, OSHA 10, CPR AED, and first aid certification, former SWWP inspector. The one at 7:30 will be Mitch Lindsay. As of right now, he works for... Who is it? Maverick Peterson. He's building locations right now. He has done dirt work mostly, and he has owned a tire shop in Duchesne.
What is your assessment of
these? My assessment.
And Dixon, were you part of the interview?
On two of them.
Okay.
Wes is very qualified for the job.
That's the hammer.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, he's a pretty good guy. I've never seen him run equipment. He's very personable. Good worker. I have worked around him. And then Ryan Chatwin, he's young, he's a very outgoing, enthusiastic young man. I like all three of them.
Dixon, what is your thoughts?
I think it all depends on what the board wants. I think the obvious best candidate is Wes Hamburg, with the most experience and the most things that apply to this job. But when we talked about it, we were talking about labor, and I don't know whether... So it depends on what the board wants to do. Do you want to get somebody who is going to take the place of one of us, like if I retire? And, you know, I think that if that happens soon, I think Wes would be the best. If we just want labor, I don't know those other... I mean... Lindsay, I was here for that one. He seems like a good guy. He has experience in construction. And then I wasn't in on the other interview, so I don't know him as well. So if you want somebody who you want to move up in the organization to be assistant to Jim or whatever, then I'd go with Wes Hamburg. If we just want to labor, I'd go with one of the other guys.
Did any of the boards sit on any of these interviews?
Just typing.
Is Dean coming tonight?
He's out.
He's out of town.
What sounds like a given is the wages for one is going to be substantially more than...
What was Wes wanting? 30?
36 an hour.
36. So, we're going to have a Zoom call with one, the other two will be in. Wes will be the Zoom call at 7. You guys have your list of questions. We have 30 minutes here, and I want to make sure everybody's questions are answered, and I don't know how formalized we need to kind of work that, or we... Do you guys have any preference on how we run the interviews?
I guess I would listen more, and the questions are more from these guys that have to work with, or that can be working with you all the time.
But we pretty much talked to them pretty in depth. We were about an hour in each one. So we were thinking that you guys would be asking more questions at the second round.
This is kind of the board's, this is the board session. And this can be the final round if you choose, obviously. If you guys feel confident enough to go ahead and move forward. It doesn't have to be, it's open until filled. So just want to make that point. It's always good to talk about know, questions about past employment, challenges, you know. Strengths and stuff like that that they do, you know, try to find out how they think of the culture. Because, you know, you got skill level, you got culture, you got the nature of what we have. And those, when you talk about culture, the nature of our operation is not big, but it is. You know, it's not like a big water system, but it is. It's right in between crap. It's a challenge.
So with this Henderson, you could probably send him to do these hookups and never look twice.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you come up? You know, if you're working backhoe and stuff one direction and he's somewhere else, where's your labor in between? You know, where's your help and where's his help?
We've kind of been tackling that jointly. And, yeah.
Is he going to be willing to get in the trench and take instructions from you while you're operating, or is he going to say, well, I'm going to operate and you get in the trench?
You ever had that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Which one are we talking about then? No, a little overqualified for... And that's the thing, is what position are we hiring for? We advertise for a laborer, and he's very overly qualified, for sure.
Yeah, I think the Dixon's point, that's what he was, Dixon
right.
was saying, if you know, here's an opportunity here, possibly, if we feel it's timely. If not, you know.
And that was one of the things I did talk to him about, is how he wants to be vested till August. I go, well, that might buy you a little bit of time if we hire a laborer now, and then if we have to reopen that back up later.
Would he be interested later, possibly, or did he express it?
Yeah, he wants to come home, right?
Yeah.
That's his motivation.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
He did say he would go down a little bit on salary, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, accommodate. That's a very expensive laborer if that's what we're hiring.
Well, we're going to need to go into closed session after this to discuss the candidates, whether we're going to move forward or not with them. It'd be appropriate. So at the end, it's just one more housekeeping thing, is at the end of the interviews, we'll want to go into closed session to finalize and then come out. If we have any actions, we'll do it at the time to close the meeting. We have two short old business items, just for information and one question. One for information and one question. And then we can close our meeting. In fact, we got 5 minutes. Let's still talk candidates. Any thoughts? What you want to know from these guys? You guys brought up some good points.
Just jotting some questions down real quick while we're thinking, I guess. We each have a couple questions to ask them.
Make sure that they're going after a career, not a right job.
That's what I've got.
How you ask that without, because...
You'll feel it.
Yeah, because you can ask them point blank and they're going to say, I want a career, I want somewhere I can stay forever.
Where are your long-term...
You'll never get an answer.
Some of the candidates would have blown you away.
Well, they answered that for you and made it easy.
Like, yeah, I just want this job until I get this.
Well, I guess that's why you make the pre-screen. That's bad. That's a usually doesn't end well when you answer that way. But at least they're honest, that's good. This isn't a remote work position, by the way. That's usually
being the work from home.
Work from home. You can't Zoom my connection yet.
That's where we're heading. Great.
Zoom call that connection in. My hookup. You do that.
Well, is that something we need? Is somebody that can just be sent out immediately to do whatever is assigned? Or
we're getting a lot more administration stuff though too, with reports, with and someone that would want to move into that kind of area, doing reports, doing.
It's almost a full-time job doing blue stakes and doing water samples. It's almost a full-time job.
I don't think blue stakes going to get less.
No.
In fact, it's going to increase.
You kind of cover that a lot.
Yeah.
That's going to increase.
And that's
all. And it's a steep learning curve on doing blue stakes because we have a lot of places that are not. There's no locator wire on, so you've got to go over the maps and measure off the fence line to see where they said it was, and it's not always where they said it was.
Right.
And so whenever we find it, we put a locator on our GPS thing. So we're getting better, closer and closer all the time. We're getting more location marks
to identify
where the line is, but. So like today I was up on 4000 South, had to mark one on the north side of the road up by, what's his name, Timothy. And I don't know how far off the road it is, you know. I just lined it up with where all the meters were and the fire hydrant down the road, and it's like, it's got to be right here somewhere.
Probably you might want to open the meeting.
Okay.
Just in case you have a little delay there.
He says he's got it.
He's on it?
Yeah, he's got the link.
So why isn't this opening for him? Oh.
Yeah. You're putting in the form.
I got one. What do you have a third one for? What's that middle one?
Don't ask. Complicated, more complicated.
Okay, I'm admitting him right now.
That's your drug being
involved. I'll call him. Ditch. See.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. I don't know, we're getting our speaker is not on. Hang on.
Working?
Yeah, we can hear you. We just got our speaker loud now. You got us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hey, how do I get the better speaker score? Ah, this will work. How's it going, guys?
Good. Slide that back a little bit when you get it done. So he can see who's talking, everybody.
Let me get something to set that on.
I think he can see us. So if we'll...
Fix it yet?
Yep. Well, Karen, there's Karen. She's definitely hiding where she's sitting. So quick introduction real quick to the board. Starting on our left in the salmon shirt over here, Paul Percival. He's a board member. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Drew. Everybody. Oh, hang on. You're getting moved around.
That's fine.
You have to go back a little. And tell us if you can't hear anybody from a distance.
Pull that plug up out of there. Pull it out and I'll re-plug it in there. You can just pull it straight up, Paul.
Okay, here you go. That's low enough, but I apologize that I can't make it in person. I was really trying to, but I got called out with my work and I couldn't get around it. Previous obligations with that, so.
We understand. All right, I think if you don't get seasick, we'll get you going again here. Hang on.
Sounds good, sir.
All right.
Work.
We're high tech at Johnson Water. Go ahead, Drew.
So my name's Drew Eschler, a board member. Jim Smart.
Karen Ashby.
Dan Crozier, a board member.
I'm Dusty Monks. I am a board member currently serving as chair.
And then you met Dean, right? Dean was here in your area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dean's not here tonight, so we've excused him. Not really, but he's not here anyway. All right, so I will kick us off with the first question. And I've done a lot of interviews and I hate this question, but I'm going to ask it. So tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm from the basement, born and raised. My dad is Weinberg. My grandfather is Cecil Landberg. My other grandfather is Sandy Meacham. So you guys might know a few of those names. So I was born and raised in the basin, and I just started my career just kind of branching out away from the basin. But I worked in the oil field, I worked on the farm, that's kind of stuff that I love to do, is be out on the farm and out on the mountains and hills. So I traveled south for some reason, migrated maybe against my will, but here I am. But I started getting into the water business. I started off at Santa Clara City. Is where I kind of felt my stride with the career that I wanted to be at. And I just started off with them. I learned all I could with all the things that I have to do with the water system, taking care of it and replacing water lines and just fixing what needs fixed and doing everything that entails to it. And then I migrated even farther and ended up here in Henderson, where it's a lot bigger than what we're all used to from the basin. It's a really big city. We got 300,000 services, and a lot of the stuff's probably on my resume, but I think the thing I want to convey to you guys is that I'm really passionate about water systems and how important water is. Like, as we can see with everything going on, that's kind of what I want to do with the rest of my life, is just to do this kind of stuff. But other than taking care of water stuff, I just want to get back to my roots, I guess. I like hunting and fishing and all that comes with that. And let's see if I get into farming again. I enjoy it when I come out to visit. I wouldn't call it vacation when I come and work on my dad's farm, but I do enjoy that when I come out, and I get to make it out there more often than I planned for. But I really wish I would have made it out this time, but I just couldn't do it. But yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Very good, thank you. Go ahead. Any of you.
So, Wesley, just a couple questions I had for you is, obviously, you're from Roosevelt, or from the basin. You'd like to move back this direction. So, what's attracted you to apply for the Johnson position? I think you've kind of went over that already, but anything else that you'd want to add to that question?
I think really you guys are, I've heard a lot about you in the last few weeks, and I feel like I could really help out. Like, I could really use a lot of my knowledge and a lot of my experience to really, just to bring you guys up a little bit. Like, I'm not saying that you guys aren't doing anything right, but I feel like I'd love to get in on, like, building up the system, like you guys have already done. I like improving things, and I think I could really, really help you guys improve. I've done a lot with with Henderson, and they have, I don't know, 1,000 employees. Like just in my department, we have 60, and there's just so many people, so many hoops to jump through to do things, and sometimes you get frustrated, like, man, like I wish we didn't have to go across all this red tape with everything. And I know there's red tape there too, but I feel like with a smaller number of people and just the system like yours, I feel like I could really help out a lot. And that's what's really caught my eye.
Okay. Perfect. One other question for me. What are your employment long-term goals?
Long-term employment goals is, I'd love to, build, I'll get in there and just see what can be done and see how good we can get it. I know on my resume it kind of seems like I've jumped around a little bit, but like really, like once I got into the water industry, like I was the town fair for 3.5 years and there just wasn't anywhere to go with that. Like no one was retiring, there wasn't any advancement opportunities, and I was just kind of stuck where I was at. And with Henderson, and I'm like, the sky's the limit with Henderson, but the only problem with Henderson is I'm in the middle of a big city with a lake that's drying up, and I kind of don't really want to be a part of that. I'm sure you guys have heard of that, but I just want to get back home. I'm on the list to get a inspector job here. There's another supervisor job here that I'm qualified for, and I may or may not put in for, depending on how hopefully everything works out with you guys. But like I'm in it to for the long haul for things that kind of match what I'm doing. Like I want to come back home, and what Johnson Water looks like, that it'll be a great opportunity to get my kids settled down and buy some property and just build things up and be there long term. That's what our goal is, me and my wife. Like, we want the farm life. We're sick of the city life. And so, yeah, my long term goals with you guys, hopefully that you don't want me there, is to just be with you guys until, so I retire. I think that looks great.
Thank you.
So Wesley, do you prefer Wesley or do you go by Wes? Just
either one.
Anyway, some people, don't want the short end of it. And if we happen to call you Wes, I don't want to offend you there. I asked that question. I forgot my other one. I got my question now. By percentage of time, in a week, how much time do you spend behind, at a desk versus in the field and the trenches? Can you give me a breakout on the percentage of what a typical week looks like?
So with me, I act as a supervisor quite a bit, but it's mostly like when the supervisors go on vacation, like, or they promote, or whatever happens. So I'm behind the desk quite a bit, but like my main job is out on the field. So it just kind of depends. Like I've logged a lot of hours behind a desk, whether I like it or not, just because I'm qualified for it. They throw me in there when there's a big deal when someone's gone. But so it's probably like, 60% I'm out in the field right now. Lately it's been weird. I've been behind the desk a lot more, but last year I was 100% out in the field, or 2 years ago I was 100% out in the field, and then last 2 years I've really been behind the desk probably 40% of my time.
Okay. What's your preference?
Well, it depends on what's going on, I guess. I enjoy getting out and able to fix the things, working with my hands. But like behind the desk is very needed. You can't line out a crew without, like the crew can't do their work without being having someone doing all the background work and all the research and stuff like that. That's mostly what I've done is we have water leaks that happen. We have to research what size of pipe, what area it is, like the kind of the soils, and if we're going to need a barricade plan and all that kind of stuff. So I think your question was, which one do I prefer? Or what was your question again?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, field or office, what's your preference?
I prefer field, but I do the office work as needed.
Okay. What is... Tell me what else to do. I'm kind of hogging it for a minute. You got one, Dan?
Oh, I just wanted to... Where you were raised in the basin, I guess you know that the only time we break water lines when it's 40 below. So how do you feel about that one?
I was born in it, so I know I can get used to it again. Like here, it's a big trade-off. You trade the freezing cold for the summer heat. Like it was 100 degrees today, and you just drink lots of water, and without there, you just put on more coats. So I'm adaptable. I know I went with my dad growing up. The cows never got out when it was nice and sunshine outside. It was always the middle of the night when it's freezing cold and raining or snowing. So that part doesn't scare me at all.
It was just kind of more of a statement than a question, you know. But
oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. No, I understand. But that is an issue. The weather is a whole lot different, which you know. So I have never... This is basically my first interview session, so this is very new to me.
Yeah, it's interesting, for sure.
So, one more for me, Wesley. As far as dealing with stressful situations, how much have you been involved with the PR side, dealing with the public, informing them of their water being shut off or what have you? What role have you played in that?
So, I actually switched with somebody tonight, but we go on call, standby. I guess we call both, but we, like, every single call in the whole entire city that deals with water, like, we have to respond to it. And there's been thousands of times, okay, we gotta shut your water off, like, I know it's a big inconvenience, but we gotta get the water fixed. And, we've had really nice people, really honored people pulling out guns on us, like, I've had everything, but, all it takes is a calm, steady mind and be like, this is what it is. I know you're upset with your water being shut off, but we can't just leave water spraying out all over the place and damaging our infrastructure. So I've had quite a few angry people at me, but it's just a part of the job.
Very good.
That's a good question.
Well, you know you deal with that. You've been involved, but the public can be interesting and fun, so.
Yeah, it's probably a little different when you know absolutely everybody out there, and it's your mom's sister's brother-in-law or whatever, and I'm sure that comes up once in a while. Here, I'm lucky I don't know a soul, so. It's great.
Yeah, sometimes it's worse.
Yeah, it's harder. Yeah.
Can you give... every job has its highlights. Every job has its challenges. Can you give us one of each? Probably the biggest thing that you dislike, and then the thing one biggest thing that you do like about your current role.
My current role, I like just being able to go out and, you know, do my job and get things fixed that are broken. And you know, back at the end of the day, like, oh man, I did a great job today. I did my job well, and now I can go home. You know, I love being able to just, you know, have a full day of good work and have everything go right, which a lot of times it doesn't go that way, but that's what I really enjoy is, you know, doing my job and doing it well. The part that I dislike is, well, yeah, dealing with people and with politics and things like that. Like we, in our job here, like I was saying, if, like, you fix something in a big city like Henderson, and you gotta go to your supervisor, they gotta go to their boss, you gotta deal with the union, you gotta deal with the boss above them. There's 25 bosses before you get to the main boss, and there's no, you can't get things fixed in a day when you think it should be fixed in a day. That's the thing that frustrates me is like, oh, well, I know how to fix this, but I don't have permission to go and fix this the way that it should be fixed. I got to go through all these steps. Like, that's one of the things that irks me, but I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Okay, as far as Henderson Water System, you already answered that question. I know what your answer is going to be on that one. I was going to ask the biggest challenge that Henderson has. If you've got a lot of level of bureaucracy, that's a challenge. I get it. You know, the public works itself. So that kind of answers that question. Paul, did you got anything?
Not really. Okay, I think you've answered mine, Wesley.
At this point, I want to open it up to, we got the board here to kind of answer some of your questions before we do anything else, or before we decide to end the interview. So what are some of the questions that we as a board can answer? If you got any.
I know you, Jim, you probably have these questions before, but about how many services you guys have, and second question, where do you guys get your water, and what's that process? I know you guys take samples and stuff like that, but like, kind of describe to me like the whole, like, where you get it, and like, who you take samples.
Well, we'll turn that to the manager.
Okay, can you see me now? I was out of the picture, I think. But
yeah, I see you now.
So all of our water, well, most of our water comes from Starvation and the treatment plant on the shore of Starvation. So it's all taken care of by that Duchesne Valley treatment plant. So that's where it all comes from. But that's also where we take our back keys. And they just do back keys. Everything else, like disinfection byproducts, we have to take into Salt Lake City to Ford Chemtech. And same thing with lead and copper, we take to Ford Chemtech and Salt Lake. So that's, what was your other questions? Connections. We have about 950 connections, but we've got 180 miles of pipe. So these connections are spread out. I mean, we have connections all the way from, I don't know if you know where Belter's Corner is on that Lake Borum Road, but just east of Lake Borum, that's where our Roosevelt section starts, and it goes clear over to the county line. We go into Uinta County in some spots, so it's, and then we have the whole separate system in Independence, which is just south of Bottle Hollow. 50 connections on that one. That's included in the 950. But we have to report separately on that. It's this whole separate system because it's in Uinta County and it's not connected to our other system. For that one, we buy water from the Ute Tribe. And for the The Upalco area, we buy water from Upper Country Water out of Altamont area up there. They get their water from Yellowstone up there.
We don't have to supply that there. We can supply them from our own system. It's just...
Yeah, well, our booster station needs an upgrade, and so that's why we're doing it, because it was problematic, and we were... So it's easier just to buy from them. But we're in the process right now of upgrading that booster station so that we will supply that area with starvation water as well. And they're just updating the treatment plant. They had that big fire, the Dollar Ridge fire. I don't know if you're aware of that. And then they had a flood event afterwards, and it changed the whole chemistry of starvation. And so they're doing a plant improvement project. It's costing like $30 million. And they're putting in plate settlers, and they're adding more chemical and stuff. That's supposed to be online in June or July or August probably. And so right now we're having a little bit of problem keeping a chlorine residual because of the organics in the water. It kind of chews up the chlorine faster. Hopefully that addition to the plant will get us a little better quality. I mean, the water's good. It's just the chlorine doesn't last quite as long. But that was kind of a long-winded answer. Anything else I can tell you about
it? That's a pretty good explanation. Thank you.
Oh, one thing I also wanted to mention is, even though we only have 950 connections, we sell water to mainly three oil companies, and that's where a majority of our water goes. Most of it goes to Ovintiv, which used to be Newfield. But we also sell to XCL and occasionally to Findlay Resources, but we haven't actually sold them in a couple of years, but it's the possibility still there. But, so we do sell a lot of industrial water, and that's kind of the backbone of our system. A lot of our revenue comes from that.
We got another question.
My other question.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go. We turn it over to you. Go ahead and answer your
question. Okay. My other question is, so how does it work with you guys working together? So, Jim and Dixon, you guys are the operator and manager. And how do you work with the board? Like, how does the board, kind of govern things? I don't, I deal with a whole different system. How do you guys govern yourselves with the board? Like, I've never dealt with a board of directors before.
So the board is there to oversee policy, to make sure, or implement policy and make sure that policy is followed. We employ management and operators to take care of the day-to-day operations. The board, because we've been understaffed, the board has stepped in and from time to time filled, well, more often than not lately, filled in some of those gaps and took on some of those day-to-day operations, or maybe one-off projects that happen sometimes, a lot of times it's in the administrative end of it, but it's also been known to be in the trenches as well, after hours. So the board, unfortunately, doesn't have the luxury at all times to just come to the once a month meeting. We do shoulder some of the responsibility as is needed. We're hoping to get to a place in the near future to where we can get a base, employee blade base, and actually be more higher level operating instead of having to step in and help. So a board just we're in charge. We represent all the customers. We're elected officials. There's five of us, and we have four districts or four precincts, with one board member that is the whole system. That's where the fifth one comes in. He's voted in by everybody. So we do represent the interests of the public, the constituents. And so we operate as governors of policy and big decisions on finances and stuff like that. Good enough?
Thank you. How does what's you guys' opportunities for expansion and for how do you get more services? What's the process of that? If you wanted to expand on independence or something like that, how does that work?
So currently we're in the process of trying to expand Connect Independence, and so we're going after some ARPA money that was awarded through the infrastructure bill, and so oftentimes we'll have big projects funded under public money, whether it's through the CIB board or drinking water, and usually that's a match grant type thing. So with CIB it's been 50-50 most of the time. So for big projects, that's what we try to get. I don't know, we've been doing about a big project a year, haven't we? Yeah. We've been putting some pretty big projects in every year. But
and you feel what's your ideal operating crew members, how many would you want and how would that work? I know you only have two right now. Is that kind of what's been the norm and what you guys are comfortable with?
Historically, we've got three employees right now. Historically, there was one operator and one clerk. We've now went from two to three. And we're now migrating to four employees in the near future, and then reassessing at the time when that gets settled out and see how our work base is now. So this next hire will bring on the fourth person, and we're going to try to maintain that and see if we need to go more or if that's sufficient.
So with the interviewing me, are you looking for more of a laborer or more of I'm a laborer, but I'm also are you looking to expand more than get a more of a crew? I want to be able to come on with you guys and help and everything, but kind of what I've gathered is that you guys are understaffed, and is that going to be what it's going to be for a while, or are you guys going to get more of a two or three man or a three or four man crew? Because I don't know how it works out there, but I feel like a three or four man crew is more ideal when you're doing excavating and things like that. I really want to be out there with you guys, and I just want to see your thoughts on that.
We will balance, the best way to answer that is we will balance the workload with the budget and with what we have. Right now we've got in the budget a three-man crew, but the manager is, duties include the management too on that three-man crew. Right now we're only running two-man crew right now, so we're trying to increase that one headcount right now because we have that in the budget. And then once we get this person in, then we will reevaluate. We have a couple of succession things that we need to look at that's been signals that there's a possibility in some time in the short-term future to work out that as well. So that'll be a consideration. But we don't know the timing on that exactly. But we do know that we need at least one more person for a total of three filled / administration, and then we'll evaluate and we will put in what we need to put in if we need to add more headcount. Our system what are we $1 million a year? $2 million a year? What are we? $2 million? Our system's a $2 million system a year is about what we've been putting through, maybe 1.8, 1.9 to 2 million.
The big jobs that Dave was talking about, those are all contracted out. So in-house, you do more maintenance and hookups, those kinds of things.
Alright, so thank you. That answers all my questions that I have for now.
Yeah, if you're worried that those big projects is put on the employees, yeah, that would be a little much. So yeah, we contract, but we bid those out. Anything of any kind of substance, we bid out. We also have opportunities in the budget to any big problems that we have. We had to replace a bunch of airbags, so we had opportunities to pull in additional help through contractors. So Drew has. We have one more question, but where's our other? Is he coming?
Yes, sir.
He's out. Okay, we're out of time, but we got one more question for you.
So it's going to be a two-part question for you. What's your current salary now, and do you have any references that you'd like to share with us?
My salary as of now, my base wage is around $75,000 a year, but with the overtime, I made $110,000 last year.
Okay.
And sorry, what was your second question?
Do you have any references you would like to share with us? I didn't see any on your resume.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't prepared for this question. I got lots of Ken Moon. I worked for him. Jim, I think you know Ken pretty well. Let's see, what else from out there? I got some from Santa Clara with a lot, and I got a bunch out here.
Which would be fine.
I represent.
Just tell me. Just.
Okay.
You can just submit it if you'd like. If you think about it and want to kick us a couple of referrals, that would be awesome. So.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
All right, Wes. I appreciate your time tonight, and we'll keep in contact and move forward here. So appreciate you taking time tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much. Again, I wish I could be there in person. This really means a lot to me, and I'm really really hoping that this works out. So good to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wes.
Yeah. Yeah. This one's
What do you want to say? What's up here?
Yeah. Let's see right here.
Lean's not here.
That seat's getting hot.
Yeah,
does
it get cooler than...
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It'll get cooler.
The cool guy's right there. Right?
Yeah.
Good evening, guys.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Have a seat here.
Sorry to come in the tux or something. I'm a little late.
You're just fine. You can see I'm dressed.
Yeah.
Right
now.
I do.
It's a plain ketchup.
All right, very good. So we got 30 minutes, so we kind of took a little extra. So we apologize, Zach. I mean, you said you're late, so we'll just let you. You'll take the blame on that. No, we apologize for being a little bit late on this. So we'll just dive right in. We'll ask, you know, this is, I know you've talked to Jim and Dixon. This is mostly for the board, and so you'll probably be fielding a lot of questions. Jim and Dixon can chime in anytime they want, but this is kind of a board interview.
Sure.
So, you know, if you've already answered the question to Jim and Dixon, then hopefully you're just well versed that you can repeat it back to us, because we we may be interested in the same questions. So.
Okay.
First off, I'll just kick it off. Just tell us about yourself and what interested you about this job.
Well, first off, my name is Mitch Lindsay. I was born here in the basin. Grew up on a farm, and my parents were divorced, so I spent a lot of time doing construction work and stuff like that. That's my dad did that mechanic work, and from then on, I just kind of went to college and played basketball for a little bit and come back and work in the oil field and just ran equipment and stuff like that. And I've worked government jobs and stuff like that, different stuff, Davis Bacon Wages, where we've done a lot, like for W.W. Clyde and different stuff, done a lot of pipeline work. I don't know. My main reason, I'm just looking for a good, stable job. I enjoy running equipment and, you know, running a water line and fixing stuff and trying to solve stuff and always wanting to learn new things, you know, because I feel like I can use it in my life and stuff like that as well, you know, when you're doing stuff or, you know, farm work or whatever, water line, stuff like that, you're always learning new tricks, a way to fix something or something like that, so, and just getting a little older, want some benefits and just want a good, consistent job. I've done too many ups and downs in the oil field and, want to do something different, something that's kind of reliable.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Let me see. Do you have a few niches we have with me there? So you're currently with, who are you with right now?
Right now I work for myself. I have a tire business, just a part-time tire business I do, and then I also work for Peterson and Brown, which is not on there. I do apologize, but they are like partners with Trujillo Construction, so I build a lot of oil field locations, and we do a lot of right-of-ways and pipelines and crossings and stuff. I actually did that one right behind Thompson, is that right? Thompson School, where you guys had that water line. We went in there and put a bunch of culverts and stuff for that pipeline company to come through there and laid that geomat down and stuff, so that's what I do right now, but it's still pretty inconsistent, you know. It's like right now, this, the rest of this week, we're kind of slow, but seems like it's feast or famine. We're going nonstop or kind of sitting and waiting for the next bid to come up.
What was your dad's name?
Bart Lindsay.
Bart. Are you related to Alan?
Yeah, we're cousins. My family moved out in like the 80s to like Southern California because they did all the gravel and stuff like that for when they did Rock Creek Dam.
Okay.
And then about that, then they did like Strawberry, when they rebuilt Strawberry, the road and stuff through there. And then after that, there was more money in Southern California, so they kind of just left the union. You know, they work union jobs, so it was easy to transfer down there. But my family had like the snowmobile business mechanic shop right there on Main Street in Altamont.
Okay.
Right there by the movie theater for a long time and sold like Yamaha snowmobiles and stuff when he was little.
Very good. Okay. I'm just trying to place you.
Yeah. We're just cousins. I mean, everybody's related up there, but my immediate family all moved out of around here, so.
Gotcha. You stuck around, huh?
Yeah, well.
Kind of.
Yeah, I kind of tried to leave and I ended up back here for some reason. I don't know.
Can do that to you, for sure. And you're operating. So what is some of your specific daily duties that you do for the
company I'm working for?
Yeah.
I would say my normal day would consist of stopping and getting fuel in the morning, you know, red fuel or whatever for the day, and then just checking over our equipment in the morning, making sure everything's good. And go to work, building, like I said, either building locations. I do a lot of land clearing, roadway clearing.
What are you operating?
A dozer. I mean, dozers, trackos, scrapers. I mean, it's kind of every day is different for me. I mean, I don't stay on the same, unless we have a good big job. And I seem to be the one that gets sent around to chase and clean up work and stuff like that, so. We do a lot of reclaims, stuff like that, or those stuff. Lately they've been putting like the tailings from like when they frack them, which I don't understand, but they're starting to change their mind saying those are environmental friendly. So we've been building a lot of berms and stuff around locations and stuff with them after they come in there and finish that. So I don't know. But that stuff's pretty heavy. It's with all that mud and different bar and bentonite and everything in there, it's kind of some weird stinking material. I didn't think I'd ever pass, but I don't know what's in it exactly. But other than that, I mean, that's just all depend on what I do, you know, during that day where they send me or something. But I can run pretty much any kind of equipment, or if I can't, I'd be happy to learn and,
you know, well, catch on these scrapers or dozers.
But like
next year.
But I mean, skid steers, whatever. I mean, I've spent a lot of time on everything, so.
So you're pretty well able, they can give you an assignment and say this is what
you're doing. Yeah, I mean, they just send us out there. And, you know, like the other day, I just, on Friday, I went up and cleaned up a location up Indian Canyon that they'd made a big mess in and had to push up some slopes and stuff like that and walk everything in just to make it look better and stuff like that. So I feel like my boss had a pretty, you know, trust me really well. He can, especially with company and credit card and stuff like that, so I feel okay.
Well, that being able to be self-motivated to say, okay, this needs done.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he just calls us in the morning or that night, lines us out what we got to do and where we need to be. And, you know, like I said, I could be in a scraper one day and then dozer the next day or and track over the next day.
Just because we had an emergency call.
You're fine.
So a couple of questions for you. So you've answered a few of these. How well can you handle certain situations, stressful situations? Water systems, of course, you're messing with people's shower or dinner. And sometimes that can get a little bit hectic, as these guys can attest. If somebody comes screaming at you, how do you react?
You know, I would just try to turn a negative into a positive. You know, I deal a little bit with running my own business and stuff like that, just trying to how to deal with people and stuff like that. And obviously, it's you explain that it's, you know, that we know that it's bad and it's affecting your life or whatever, but we're doing our best to try to get there and get it done as fast as we can. You know, and we're. So that's probably, I would just go about it that way and just try to, you know, make a conversation with them and try to talk to them a little bit instead of just being short with them and tell them, we'll get the water back on as soon as we can, you know, I think that makes it worse or something, but yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, definitely does.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, good answer.
Well, how do you feel about on-call being called out in the middle of the night?
You know, it would be no change to me. You know, we do a lot of that stuff too. Pull out trucks. You know, wintertime is really bad, blading roads and, you know, pulling trucks out. But I've lived on the on-call life. I've ran a lot of businesses. You know, been the top guy for a lot of different companies and I've been there a lot. And with my tire business, it's, you know, if I get called out, I have to go and get up and go to work the next morning kind of thing. So I'm used to it.
So what are, you answered this question, but if you'd like to add anything to it, what are your employment long-term goals? You mentioned you want to get out of the oil field, something a little bit more stable. Is there anything that's attracted you to this position as far as longevity, or is there anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would just say I'm just kind of interested in being like working for a family kind of based, you know, environment, company, something like that, where if everybody gets along and it's a good time, you can go to work and stuff like that. As far as my long term, I mean, if things work out, when I did get a job here, I'd probably stay, you know, I'd
hoped to stay here as long as I could. So, but I'm getting old enough. I need benefits and stuff like that. My body's starting to break down, and I don't know. I'd rather chase, you know, have a good consistent job than chase a bunch of money for 6 months and be broke the rest of the time. So.
Where do you live now?
I live in Utah.
West of Duchesne.
Yeah, about 5 miles off of 87. I think when we was in here calculated it was like 37 miles or something that I'm from the office to my house. So
what are you currently at wage wise with your employment? Say on a salary on a yearly basis?
On a yearly basis, whatever, 20. I mean, I get paid $25 an hour right now and then bonuses and stuff like that on the job, so it just kind of just depends.
You don't have any problem with grabbing the end of a shovel and jumping in?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm pretty flexible. I've been around long enough. I don't care if I'm grunting in the tunnel, you know, down in the trench, running a shovel or whatever. I'm a hard worker at it. You know, sometimes I'd rather be doing that than running equipment just a break, you know, something new or whatever, you know, or especially, I don't know, for digging around something crazy. I'd rather have eyes on it than trying to dig sometimes, you know, be able to, if you have a good operator that you can trust and be able to give them signals and stuff like that. So no, I have no problem running a D1, that's what we call it. So that's a
D1.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I've had a construction company for many years, and I'd give a guy a shovel and I knew in 10 minutes whether he was worth having on the job or whether he wasn't.
Yeah.
So, how do you want
to? That's why I was harassing one of my bosses the other day when he came, when we was doing that, actually doing the crossings and putting the culverts and stuff in there. He went and bought some cheap wooden shovels that were light, you know. So I can tell you've never dug a post hole in my life, or that wouldn't be handled and everything. It's harassing me, but yeah, I don't know. I like getting my hands dirty too. Yeah, no,
so you're willing to do anything?
Anything.
Whether the mud's up to your hips or...
Yeah, I don't care.
Because once in a while, usually water breaks are a little bit muddy.
Yeah.
Cold.
It's warmer down in the hole, though.
Yeah.
Did you leave references on that?
I don't think so, but I can write some numbers down for you guys, if you'd like. If
you would, or emails, or
what would be best for you?
Oh. If you've got them offhand, yeah.
Write them down if you've got them, that'd be great.
While you're writing, just if there's any other thoughts that you think you'd like to let us know.
So just I don't, other than like how your benefit package, stuff like that, how does that all work? We kind of went over it a little bit, but
we have health insurance.
Okay.
Which is run by PEHP, which is the one the state of Utah uses. We have a retirement program that set up as a, just learned that, what is it set up as? I can't remember.
An SEP, 12%.
Yeah, an SEP plan. Pays well into that. We have, we're in the process of, part of this restructuring we're doing is going to look at all our benefits and get them cleaned up and more organized in a more structured way. Other than, you know, time off, and we have an on-call policy we just put in that pays a certain amount for the per day that you're on call. It's not, you know, it's just to pack that number, I guess. What else am I missing?
I think you've covered it. What I know of, I'm new to the board. So it's December or whatever.
So, like, probation period, say if I was to get hired, how long does it take for benefits and stuff like that to kick in?
What's the current policy on that right now? I know on the, like, on the time off we had, I can't remember.
6 months ago.
The vacation.
1 year. Or vacation. You don't get any vacation?
No, if there is some.
I thought they started with the 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Or it's accrued. Is it accrued?
You want to get probation on the thing, wasn't it?
I don't remember it being that, but I'll trust you on that because I don't remember. We haven't hired for a few years, so the questions haven't, and we're right in the middle of
trying. And then we're 3 months on the retirement and
the health insurance.
That's what I was thinking. I think so. I heard somewhere around 3 months.
Yeah, I think it was 3 months, and I thought it was 6 months vacation, but...
I thought there was time. I thought there was time that was granted. We have paid holidays, which are going to be granted off from day one. But
yeah.
Karen will look it up. Maybe we can give you a better answer on that.
Any other questions you got for us?
And then probably, what would be the situation for a company truck or? Something like that. Is that something provided later on? Or is that something available right away? Or how does that all work?
So this is a new position. So right now it probably would not have 10 vehicle. When you come to work, there'd be one provided, of course, for the duties. But correct.
I think that's about it. When are you guys looking at, like, hiring one of the date, or when are you guys deciding on somebody?
Tonight?
we're sifting through
feeling.
Yeah, we've got a short list, I guess. Now we're just kind of narrowing that down. So, depending on what the board decides to do.
And there has been a few applicants that were kind of wanting the more of a pass-through job. It's not something that, you know, I feel like as a board member that we need somebody that is planning to give it their best to stay employed, because it doesn't, it's not easy going through and finding more people.
So the vacation right now is written, so there's 5 days. At the 1 year mark, then there's another 5 days of sick leave, but that one I believe starts. There's no defined on when it starts.
So 5 days of a year?
That's what it says on the vacation, and then sick leave is another 5 days, so there's 2 weeks there. I don't remember it being like that, but that doesn't mean it's not accurate for sure, because it's on the paper. But anyway, we're going through and we're going to reevaluate all those.
Yeah.
No sick leave on the water break when it's 40 below.
Come on.
All right, Dixon.
I don't know. I've been tempted to call that a few times.
Are you willing to get the certifications that's required to Jim and Dixon have certain certifications?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, as I said, I would be happy to learn as much as I can and get whatever I can, so.
So if you were shown how to do a water connection one time, you could pick it up the next time?
I would say, yeah.
Close to it.
Pretty close, yeah, for sure. I would hope so.
You know, like, but I don't mind, and that's what I would love. Like, when I start something, I'm always kind of one of those guys that take the back seat and want to learn, you know. Even if I know something, I always want to sit back and kind of see how other people do stuff. And always trying to get something. You always learn something from somebody. They'll have some little tiny trick that they'll do or something, or how they go about something that helps you out the next time.
Well, these two have got a little experience in making repairs and making connections, so it'll be a good learning spot.
Yeah.
Usually, we don't do them. Usually, we have done them on our own, but usually we go out and work together on them, because one guy can be putting together the meter and everything, the other guy's digging, and then one guy's down in the hole finding the pipe while the other guy's on the backhoe when you're directing, you know, so we don't break pipe and stuff
exactly.
Like that. So it's kind of a team effort. And especially when it's a break, we don't like one person out there. We'd rather have two or three.
Well, safety concerns. You're up on trench safety.
I've been aware of it. Yeah, I mean, boxes, the feet, yeah. I actually did one. Do you remember one that Finn Willie's boy got buried on that trench right on 87? That they had like, I don't know, 100 and something feet of trench open with no trench boxes, and it was like a sandy cover rock material, and that whole bay gave in like that. But yeah, I'm a safety person. I mean, if there's something, I mean, even if it's questionable, I mean, I'd rather take the time to put a box in or do something, you know what I'm saying, dig back the slopes or whatever to make sure it's safe, you know, because it just takes a second for something like that to happen. So yeah. You know, and I wouldn't say I'm completely up, because I haven't been in that area, but I mean, I kind of know that I think they haven't changed too far, you know, from the slope and the depth and stuff like that, that you can be sitting in a box, you know, in the trench with it open like that.
Well, any last questions? We got 2 minutes left.
I don't think you answered mine, so.
Okay. He's answered mine, and you guys.
Yeah, I'll grab some numbers and I'll give this back to you and get out of you guys' hair if you guys are good with that.
Okay, I appreciate you.
No problem. I guess I'll start with Mitch. Okay. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you. I just lost my pen.
You can borrow mine. I just need the music over here. I knew how. I need a half a sheet of paper. She's got my glove.
Been there, done that.
Appreciate you coming in.
Appreciate you having me.
I know you've already talked with Jim.
This is Dean.
Dean.
Was Dean here?
Was it just Jim? All right. Well, so just to give you a preview, this is more of a board interview. So we'll probably ask you some of the similar questions, so you may repeat yourself, but the board is obviously has to be involved in the process, and just prepared to field any questions from any of us.
Yeah, I'll answer them the best we can.
I'll start off with the same question. Just basically tell us about yourself and how it's brought you to, and what your interest here is on this job.
I'm Ryan Chaplin. Grew up right out here. Been in Paul and Drew and Jim's church ward. Right now, my current employment's with Sunrock. They're a good employer, but we're doing a lot of out of town, long term stuff. And I don't know, with my wife and stuff, I figure if I can put career and time into something more community centered, I feel that's important to me. Yeah, give back to the community, plus the fact that I be home or be around. I seen this job come up, and I know not everything you guys do through, but have irrigation water experience. I know it's different, but I thought about coming here just for the fact that you guys would give me an opportunity to work for you in advance in your company, be here local where I can be home, and I took my wife and my family, then I'd be happy to work here.
So even if you could chase bigger dollars somewhere else, you might be more contented at home.
They've already discussed that with me about more this, more that. And I'm happier for less dollar to be able to be home at night.
Where are you currently working?
We're bouncing around between Sinclair and Rock Springs and Green River and Southern Wyoming right there. So.
What's your schedule?
Sorry.
What's your schedule?
We work Monday through Friday there.
And you're home Friday night, or you?
Yeah, usually 10 or 11 at night, leaving.
How long have you been doing that?
4.5 months. I plan on another 6 to 8. Maybe be home for a minute, back up there for another 5 or 6.
So what do you do for Sunrock?
I'm an equipment operator. As job description, but do a little bit of everything. We've been moving the crusher. We run around all the different pits, go to the Wasatch Front, fix conveyors, haul stuff for them. I do some heavy haul since I have CDL for them a little bit. Run a lot of loaders, trackos, a little bit of everything, crusher side.
Jim Ames, you work with him a little bit?
Yeah, he's my boss in the hospital, so in a way I'm under Jim, but not directly.
So, I'll throw my questions at him if you're...
Fine, please.
Yeah. So, what are your, and you kind of answered this generically, but... What are your employment long-term goals? What do you want as far as that goes?
As an employer, if you invest in me, I want to invest in the company where I plan to retire someday. Whether it be 30 years, 40 years, if you give me, show me the trade, teach me how to do it, I'll give them 110% every day, no matter what.
The other one I'll just throw at you, stressful situations, sometimes working with public and water, you get in those, as far as shutting somebody's water off because they didn't pay a bill, or we call that delinquents, sometimes it's a hostile situation.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jim's had some situations that haven't been indexable. Haven't been too appealing. How would you handle something like that?
I don't know. I feel that I have good people skills. Yelling gets you nowhere. I mean, that's just an obvious factor. And I can see, you know, I mean, you have to look at every confrontation from somebody else's perspective. You go and just throw a fist, then it's not going to get for anybody. I mean, you still have to get your point across, no matter what it is, and especially if you shove somebody's water. They're not going to be happy about that. But if you don't get too involved, that's your best factor into screaming, yelling, you know what I mean? I'd go about it as explaining my point, even if I have to say it a few times that I'm sorry, but this is my job. Don't, more or less, don't hate me for me doing my job. Really not.
Good.
Are you, let's see, you worked for Runners?
Yes, I did.
And what was the reason for leaving there?
I got called from Jim at Sun Rock, and we were working long hours, weekends, no set schedule, and I didn't even apply for it. He just called me out of the blue and said, hey, I think you'd be a good handle, what you put in the resume. And so I looked into it. They had better schedule, better benefits, everything that way, and it got me out of the oil field for job security, so that's why I went to Sun Rock.
Okay. And you were welding and mechanic for Crozier's, right?
Yeah.
What's that?
They got slow in the winter and laid everyone off, and Kelly basically said to me, you can find a job and find it, I'll try to keep you doing stuff as much as I can, but that's kind of how I went over to Runners.
Gotcha. Alright. Who's your immediate supervisor now?
Weston Cannon.
Do you recognize some of the big, like a Mark Wimmer? I'm president of the company by now. You don't deal at that level, huh?
That's way above my pay grade.
This guy used to work for us. He's actually lives here. He used to live here in Oak Lane area.
So what is your salary now? Are you on by the hour?
By the hour, yeah. I told Jim that I needed $24.50, which is what I'm getting now. So, but I mean, I'm negotiable a little bit that way. If there has to be a training process where I'm a little less than an hour for 6-8 months, I wouldn't complain.
So you mentioned that they've been talking to you. Have you been about making it better? Or you've been talking to them, like signaling that you're looking elsewhere? Is that why they've been talking to you?
I haven't brought it up, really. But I took off last Monday, and I gave them a heads up for it, you know. And they're asking. I'm not going to lie to them. I've got job interview and another company. So that happened, there wasn't much said about it, and then the Wednesday that I came was back up there, my supervisor, boss Jim, brought it up, and yeah, I don't know, it's more a, do we not give enough for you, do we not this, not that, I don't want to go down this road, it's not that, it's the fact that I take a pay cut to be home. So That's kind of how it ended there for a couple days. And then he got a hold of his boss, chain of command all the way up, and they're wanting to raise per diem and wages out of town. And yeah, so
I'm trying to ease that burden just a little bit, huh?
So I just
It's tough, I get it.
Whatever, I'll let you do your thing.
Yeah, okay. Do you have any questions for us?
Not really.
That Jim hasn't answered anything.
Not really that Jim hasn't answered. He's doing pretty good.
I see you put Jim on here as a reference. Is it?
Because I was the best scout leader in the world.
Ever. Oh, Drew's got shifty eyes now. I shouldn't. You shouldn't have said that.
We're in competition. Well, how could I fail with just two of you? You both come home.
So, how do you feel about being on call, being called out in the middle of the night to go fix water repairs?
Don't lie to me. I've done my fair share of that oil field wise. So, if you need me, you got me.
All right. Any other questions, guys?
Jim and Dixon have certain certifications that they had to do to, are you opposed to going through the process to become certified to the point that you can take on some of the responsibilities?
I don't have any problem with that. We had to do a lot when we got on the Sunrock, but every piece of equipment we have, every half the tools we run, Henshaw stuff, I'm fine with doing any certification I had to. I've done a bookload of them already.
Okay. And if you've seen water connections done a couple of times?
Not outside of farming, but I've done a lot of farming.
If you've seen them, if you witnessed them or you helped with them, you could...
Oh, I'm a visual learner, so...
You could take over and do that without much issue.
Yeah, I think so.
Self-motivated. You're out there to do a job and something happens, you're not just sitting there waiting, you're getting on the ball.
Yeah, the best way to get it done is quicker than get it done.
So would you feel comfortable if we reached out to some of these references?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We have an on-call there. We got an on-call.
Yeah.
Where they alternate days evenly. And there's some compensation because you're on-call. Not a tremendous amount, but there's some compensation there. But do you have any problem with calls?
No, what?
Water breaks sometimes in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I don't have a problem with that.
Weekends.
Where are you living now?
I am, you know that new gym that Tracy's boy
okay.
built?
Mm-hmm.
Right up on the hill above there, Tony has those apartments.
Oh, where? Okay.
Right there.
Perfect.
So I'm just right here down.
Okay.
Tony bought some apartments?
Yeah, he bought some more.
Some more he's trying to get out of the last of it.
Yeah, he's always trying to get out of everything. He buys more. Cows are the same way.
Is your wife from here?
Yeah, Troy Ross owns the pizza store. It's his daughter.
I have seen some people hired occasionally that before long their wives decide they want to go back home where their home
yeah.
might be. Right.
All right. Anything else, guys?
Do you have any questions for us?
No, I think Jim answered most of mine that I had.
Good.
Well, appreciate your time tonight.
Thank
and
you for having me.
You driving back up tonight?
No, I'm going to go up in the morning. Yeah, but
thanks for coming down.
Yeah. Not a problem at all.
Hey, thanks, sir.
Appreciate it for you. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice meet you. Shit, yeah.
Have a good one.
You too.
Take care.
Let's do one quick question on old business here. We talked about, we approved going back with PEHP on the health insurance. Paperwork asks one question, employee enrollment eligibility. So we have to mark the box on when they're eligible to get health insurance and when it's terminated. So the hire date, and we've never filled this out before, so we have no precedence, apparently. Hire date, when a new starts, does the health insurance start on the day they're hired, a month after they're hired, 30 days after, or the following month after the hire, 30 days after the hire, 60, 90, and other. But it can't be more than 90.
This is all health insurance?
This is health insurance. And then on termination, the date of termination, the month after, 30, 90. Can't be more than 90.
Well, the day that they're terminated, I would say that would be sufficient, personally.
Okay. You agree with that?
I was off in la la.
So on the termination, I just saying that they also have to determine when it terminates. And Drew, it went through the date of the termination, a month after, 30, 60, 90 days. And Drew's just, he's...
When they're terminated, they're done?
That's what he's proposed. Just going to get a consensus here. I don't have to, since we've already got this in place, we don't... I think, if anything, Jim, when you came, was it day one?
What?
The health insurance?
I want to say it was a little while, wasn't it?
3 months or something.
I thought it was.
How long did that day before probation on it?
On the front side of things, I mean, we want to make sure they're invested in an employee that's going to stick around. 30 days, I don't think 30 days is too far out of whack to 2 months. 60 days might be a little stretching it, but 30 days I think is in my opinion, would be fair.
What about, you got somebody who's leaving one job where they have insurance and they have to go into a job without insurance. If you've got them, if you start on day one, then they're covered, you know. Like, what if his wife's pregnant, you know, and she has a baby during that 30-day gap, you know?
We want them to stay there to have the baby and then come here.
Unfortunately, with the...
But if you can terminate it on the day of termination, you know, so if they don't work out and they're terminated, it ends.
So
that's the only thing I see is the gap that they may have between one employment and another.
Health insurance is unfortunately one of those necessary evils that become very hard if for an employee to go without because of one incident can break a guy. And when I look at this, I think of health insurance in a way of as if a guy comes or a gal and we give them a 30, 60, 90 days, can't be more than 90, so if we give them up to that, then if they do have financial issues because of that, that's going to affect their work, that's going to affect what they do, how their morale is and how they're going to be, their well-being at home. So unfortunately, that's just the nature of the health care. If we want to probation anything, the best is obviously your vesting on your retirement, which right now we don't have that option. And And time off obviously is another opportunity for that type of vesting or accrual. But as far as health care goes, I kind of lean toward day one, from just in my opinion, because if they do have a surgery or something happens, they break something, their kids break something, it puts them in a financial burden that will affect for more some time their performance.
That's true.
I can see that point. And it's an attractive benefit that will help them see that we're willing to invest in them as well. So I'm okay with that.
I think that as far as vesting goes, you could give them, say, okay, we're going to start with this. When you become certified, it'll go up a certain amount, you know, a certain percent or a certain dollar amount, whatever.
Yeah, as part of the probation.
Probation or whatever.
Do you mean wages or
retirement? Well, we can't change retirement because the SEP has to be the exact same for every employee. So
it's a day one thing.
Yeah. So we could give them a 6 to 12 month, get a certification operating, certification water operator.
What do you have to do to get that? You have online classes, or
no, they did them online during COVID, but I think they're all back in person now, aren't they?
The tests,
the training and the tests.
And you spend the whole time in the conference doing training, and then on the last day you test.
There's only certain times there's conferences.
Yeah,
there's a book they can study.
So twice a year you have to.
So that could be something we could put out there. Start them out, you know, give them a dollar raise or something when they get that. I don't know, whatever.
But as far as this goes, what's consensus? I've got the date of termination, but what's the date of hire? When's it start?
Well, I think there's wisdom in what you said.
Okay.
Okay. Done.
Where do I sign? It says agency. Is that us? Agency? It was a terrible for all Jim to reject it. All right. Before we go into closed session, because I think we're going to go close it out and be done, will you pull up that thing we worked with Chris on? That spreadsheet I emailed you?
Yeah.
So while he's pulling, we lost Drew.
Was there any further discussion after I left?
Not much, no. Sorry guys, I checked out a little bit. I just lost my best dairy goat. Frustrated.
Nice.
Blood. I should have told her, she had done it once before and I had told my daughter how to fix it. And we rescued her once and it happened again anyway. She's got two babies now, I got a more frustrating. But she's the best one, man. She's great. I mean, top genetics. By a long ways.
So how many do you have goats?
I've got three dogs now. Buck. And got seven babies. Five females. So way it goes.
At least you don't have any cows. That's good.
I got three.
Oh.
They're meaningless, though.
Oh.
But I only count for half.
Half a cow?
Probably twice the trouble, though. All right, so today we... not that.
Yeah, it won't open with... Hold on a sec.
So I met with Chris, Dan, I, and Jim, and Dixon, and Karen was here. We met with Chris today, what I did is... set him down. I said, okay, Johnson Water has to justify their any type of deal we work out with you, so we need to have concrete data and be able to back into the number that we offer you. And I said, so I just bring you here to sit down, we'll make that number instead of making it and bring it to you. Let's just work that through so you can have some input on some of these assumptions.
I don't know.
Where's the email I sent you? What's it not doing?
So I get it. It wants to download it into...
No, it's not that. It's a different email.
When was this one?
That was the earlier one. I just copied you on the one I gave to Chris. Go back in there and you scan it. But you should have one more from me. There I am right there.
So why isn't it open in here?
Just double click on that. Open with.
I can only Google Sheet, but...
Here.
Oops.
So what I did is this is a little spreadsheet. So what we said, okay, Chris was like, right, he gave us a $200,000 number,
buyout
number, if you remember the last conversation, and he based it off of the replacement hay he would have to buy. And I said, okay. So using that methodology, I said, we'll do a worksheet here and say with some assumptions, and we'll work through the assumptions, and I've highlighted the assumptions. So I have the hard costs, which are your lease, assessments, and maintenance. Put a budget over there. It totals $8,000 a year, $8,300. And then you come over here to the remaining years. So we put at 3 remaining years left on the lease, assuming that he'll finish this year out because of the time that we have. So that's about $25,000 worth of hard costs that would have to be paid over the 3-year period. And that's assuming only assumption made there is that maintenance was at $500. I just threw it out and nobody had a good number, so I just chucked it in there. Come over here to the production cost. Fertilizer, I put a placeholder for that. He said he hasn't fertilized, so I told him, okay, then we can put that in. We can make that assumption in your production. How many tons an acre? Equipment, $100 per ton is what the factor was used for equipment costs. That comes out to $12,000 because of the assumptions down here was 3 ton an acre is what was used. There was some quite a discussion around the sale price and the ton of acres. So Chris was happy with those, or not happy, but he said that those numbers looked fair to him. He says he's getting better than that on the ton per acre, but there was some debate on that. So anyway, if to replace that total amount was $36,000 if he had to buy what he can produce on that farm was $36,000 a year or $108,000 for the remaining 3 years. So we took the total and then minus off the hard cost and the soft cost, and you come over here. And it equals a balance of $47,000. Now, there's some soft savings that we did not factor in there. One was a replanting that we have at $7,000, and labor was, you know, what it is. So we didn't factor any labor, just so you know, that there's additional downside risk to this that wasn't factored. When Chris looked at this, the only comment he really made was that he said, well, that's not how I figure. I figure it's just whatever I gotta buy. And I explained to him, I said, yeah, that's how we built this, but there's obviously costs that are associated with your production. You can't get free hay, unfortunately, no matter if you're putting it up yourself or if you're buying it. So I think that this is a fair assessment. The assumptions may be high or may be low. You can argue that, but as far as assessing what maybe impacts Keep Him Whole, the method was somewhat fair, probably a little lenient to favor the leasee. So that's where we're at. He said he would look at it, talk with his wife, and let us know. There was a, you know, we did discuss the intangibles that are a little more, and, you know, Dan brought up the risk of having a landlord that may or may not be pleasant to work with or may, you know, continue with the drama. Talked about pricing of hay could go up, could go down, who knows. I don't know. Anything else I missed?
So the 47 would be minus the replanting costs, so we're looking at...
No, the 47 does not include the replanting costs.
Right, so it'd be 40,300, or 40,100.
If you were to require that, yes.
And he's aware of that.
Yeah, I just said, you know, I just said that that does not include that, so if that's a factor, then that will be also additional.
Okay.
And I told him, you know, I said, we'll go through the board, we'll look through the assumption and everything, and they'll have to digest it as well. Any feedback?
Well, I think you did. I don't know how else you can do it. That is as scientific as you can get, as far as I think your ton of...
Well, I always figured it cost $100 a ton to put it up.
Right. And your price per ton on the hay, unfortunately, I think it's probably going to be there this year. But,
you know, some of these factors come into play as how valuable is that livestock before it gets to the point where you've always felt like that if you price it to the point that nobody can afford to keep in it,
right,
then you shot yourself in the foot.
The problem is this year's our inputs are through the roof, so
and that's
another factor as far as the cost to put that hay up. $100, probably more than that with $5 fuel. So that's more than fair, is what I'm getting.
So there's upside.
You can buy some for $5.
There's upside and downside risks to this, obviously, and there always is. And that's
so,
the nature of the beast.
I changed it to 150. And that's how much change it makes.
Oh, you increased the, yeah, it's pretty significant impact.
Right. So what you guys kicked out, I think, is more than fair, like you mentioned. More than fair.
Yeah. I don't know. Reading on it, he seemed, just reading, it seemed like he was favorable more than anything. I don't know. He was scratching his head pretty hard, so it's really hard to say.
Well, I think we did indicate to him that if he wanted to keep going the way it was, that it was a possibility. That if we sell, then he has someone else to deal with.
Yeah, I told him previously that in good conscience, we wanted to have a reasonable offer for him. And I think, you know, we're more than reasonable. We're erring on the side of that. if you were to business this out, you have costs, you have risks. You may not have the water next year to grow 120 ton. You may only get half that, depending on your water situation. So there's upside risk, there's downside risk. Your hay could be a lot more too. You just can't tell the future, right? You can just best guess, and whatever's fair is fair. And, you know, good point that Dan said, there's a breakover point where the market will give, and we'll, our beef prices will be cheap for a little bit, and then it'll get expensive, real expensive.
And I've seen hay go from 200 to 75 the next year, so.
Yeah, if we get a real wet year next year, this winter, you know, you'll see that drop significantly.
But well, the actual storm track is the La Nina or whatever we're in now is supposed to change later this year to the
La Nina.
One or the other, whichever is the
La Nina or El Nino.
Yeah, whichever one's the wet one.
Girl or the boy?
To change.
The La Nina, they claim, is supposed to be more for us. La Nina is more of a southern flow. It usually favors the basin.
Because we get it from the south.
Because we get it from the south. But the problem is it kept hitting every freaking time it hit that Wasatch Range, and it glanced. Instead of a full on dump hit, it glanced, and so we were just not getting those numbers. I watched every stupid one of those. They come in at a glance.
Well, and if it isn't coming from St. George, we don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So $75 a ton doesn't look too good.
No. Better take that off. We've got farmers in here. They don't want to see that. Sometimes it's better just not knowing. So.
But cows hit the market, hay price could go down.
Yeah, your demand destruction, that's the point that Dan's talking about. Your demand destruction, we're there because your input prices are so high right now. Last year, inputs weren't near as high, so they were able to float it, but this year, inputs are so high in everything that your demand destruction is going to hit hard. It'll break. When? Maybe not this summer, but it could be coming. But that's, again, that's speculation. So, given that, I feel that this is plenty fair. It's 100% profit. This is what it works out to be. Well, I told him that we're paying him for his labor. I said, we haven't calculated labor in here, and so basically we're paying you for labor that you didn't have to do. So I think that on itself is pretty fair.
So I guess it's basically in his court.
So the question I have for you guys is, are we close?
If it were me on that side, I would take it around. So I think you did good.
But are we close from what the board, we can fine-tune this if we need to? Okay. I'll see what he says. And hopefully, I think they'll come back soon with something.
This was yesterday?
No, it was a few hours ago.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, I think these numbers we can justify in whatever.
Right. Yeah, I explained that to him. We have to be able to, somebody come up and say, what did you do? This is how we did it.
Right. Yeah, and then it's market, so I think you did good.
And the one thing you need to consider too, and I told Chris this, is that, you know, there is a point of even making it reasonable that it'll be a factor. You know, there is value in not having the lease tied to it, but then if the price gets high, it discounts the price of the property enough that it may even be a moot point. So, you know, does that make sense? You know, if we get $550,000 without and $530 with the lease, it's a moot point.
Right.
We'll keep the lease.
Okay.
Okay. I would suggest that we go in the closed session to discuss the last item the second item of business, which was the job interviews, to discuss that.
We've got one land. I don't know if you want to go over it and offer. He called me today and I think he'd throw something to Karen.
Did we get an offer on the land?
So is it my dad retired?
How haven't we advertised that idea? That would be
on this second round?
No. We haven't done anything?
Nothing.
This is what Drew got out of the memo.
Were you not
meeting? Which one?
No, you were doing
the one on the 12th?
When we talked about putting it on KSL on Facebook.
Yeah.
And a big sign. Like that next Monday.
This is just one.
Right. Stage went with this one, right?
I think so. He just called and said that the office was closed, and I told him just drop in the drop off.
Okay, so it's just one now. They all look the same other than this one's more complete.
Yeah,
he said he didn't get something on it.
All right, Wyatt Griffith has put an offer in. Apparently this was due to word of mouth. Offering $750,000 with 50 shares of water. The two parcels, and the two well lines, with $10,000 earnest money. So.
In there it says something about closing within certain number of time after Roosevelt should annexes it.
Okay. Settlement due date 60 days after Lieutenant Governor's grant annex seller properties into Roosevelt City. So his anticipation is that they're going to petition to get this annexed.
Yeah. So I guess the question I had is he buying other land that ties into Roosevelt? So his conversation with me, and I wasn't sure if he's going to put this, he's called me several times just inquiring. And their potential of annexation would hinge on an easement or a purchase of property to get to 2000 South, which would qualify him for annexation to Roosevelt. Serviced by Johnson Water, obviously, on the water.
So is that, what's that guy's name is buying by the airport? Knight?
Brad.
Mm-hmm.
That's already annexed in. That's already Roosevelt City.
You was telling me it wasn't.
It is. He was wrong.
I was in that meeting when that discussion happened.
Yeah, he was. That was the night you found out as well.
Yeah.
So we
thought. So we're up to 2000 South, is that actually?
Yeah, past the airport, past Brad, Jessen, Welding, I think owns the next piece, and then there's another parcel that is all annexed into Roosevelt. At some point, Patrick must have annexed that in before they started subdividing that off. So, yes, it is all annexed.
So all he needs is a connection across the road into this property, then?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there is one caveat, then.
And I think the reasoning is the county is going to make him tie into the Roosevelt City sewer because of his plan that he wants to do with housing. If there's an equation of how many linear feet per house that you have, the county has now. I don't know what that is, but maybe Dan knows. But depending on how many homes that you want, depends on how far away from the sewer line, and he's within that range that I think they're going to make him do it. Roosevelt stands to it, if you want the utility, you got that in. The sewer utility.
Okay, so that's quite a bit more than last offers, significantly more.
A
we need to get this advertised. We're behind the eight ball on this. Obviously, this is a word of mouth approached, but I'd be a lot more comfortable having it actually been publicly submitted. So, when do you guys think we can get that up?
We were going to put it on Facebook and on our website, but Jim's the only one who knows how to do that. So he was been on vacation all the last 2 weeks. So we worked on the ad, and it's going to be very similar to the last one. It's published in the paper. And if you want to sign up, we can do that too.
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, I think, yeah, the decision's made. We just need to widely advertise it, whatever method we can. KSL, Facebook, sign up. We've got to have it up, so we need to, we're kind of, apparently there's serious people out there. And if we're not, we already made the decision, we need to act.
So when you say KSL, is that like classifieds or something?
Yeah, it's just another medium for advertising widely.
So who knows how to do that?
It's easy.
To do what?
KSL.
Well, I've done
post. You've done that?
Yeah.
So do we have an ad made up that you can post on there now?
Dixon City
description. Oh, okay.
So we should be able to get this up then. Like, we need to get it up. If you have the ad, there's no reason you can't have it up by tomorrow, is there?
Was there a time frame on his?
Oh.
I told him that we were starting to advertise it by next Monday, supposed to be discussed. So I don't know if he's put something in there as far as a...
Seller disclosure deadline 6/22. Due diligence deadline 7/10. Settlement deadline, and that's what I just read. That was contingent on that annexation.
Mm-hmm. So the annexation is not going to be an issue. I think it's more for him as far as getting easement. So that's going to be up to...
So it's got to come through Max Rasmussen's
or Jim Patrick, one or the other.
So how far away from 2000 South is this property?
Oh, 1,400 feet, maybe?
Quarter of a mile.
Okay. Yeah, we're...
Maybe a little further. Seems like there's been a lot of thought into this.
I think it's like... It's half a mile.
Well, the meeting that we had last meeting, it was to be advertised up next week.
Because of this?
No.
Just...
No, well, the reason I wanted to advertise it, the reason that I proposed it, and it was accepted by the board, was because the reconciling of trying to kick it to, we hadn't been kicking it to a realtor, we stalled out there, but I was still having trouble with reconciling a widely advertisement on not a defined amount of time, but enough that we could say we advertise it for X amount of days, and then if we don't, we can kick it out of the realtor because we're waiting on the, you know, access and all that stuff to actually fall into place, at least the permitting of it. So the reasoning that we decided to advertise it before a realtor is so we could say we had it widely advertised for a period of time, and then if we did kick it to a realtor, then we could, because it could come, just like it just happened now, could come where somebody, you know, accepts whatever the offer the realtor puts out there. And if we did that on day one, my concern was, like I said last meeting, my concern was is that we may have complaints that we weren't widely advertising enough. So given that we had a little bit of time with this permitting, and we hadn't satisfied how we were going to actually engage a realtor, let's just put it out for public so it's at least been being advertised while we work out those details.
This guy was interested while we were talking about the realtor discussion. So the thought come across, you know, and the conversation we had in our board meeting was, do we employ the realtor and pay the 6%, or do we do it on our own? And we agreed to do it on our own. So, and that's where his bid came in, was until we advertised it openly, which was supposed to be that Monday that we talked about.
Well, I'll get it on tonight then.
So,
but again, there's still some...
I mean, it's not your fault, Jim. You're off work. But
well, it doesn't seem like it's important. We're off work ever.
Well, it, I guess...
I know. Well, I'll get it done tonight.
Well, no, it's not on your shoulders, Jim. It was just... It was an oversight, I guess. If we... I thought we were... And the reason I told him to submit the bid is because I was under the impression last meeting that we were going to open that up for advertisement the following Monday. Am I wrong in that, or...?
Yeah, it was. It was understood, but it wasn't done.
But it wasn't put on you, Jim. So don't feel like it was you. It was just the consensus was we were going to advertise.
Just send me the thing. File. I'll put it on stuff. I mean, I don't care. I don't. I mean, it's not this complicated. I'm getting kind of pissed off. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Some of this stuff is just. And I'm going to say things I probably shouldn't, but I'm a little mad because we get to a point where decisions are made, and it seems like if they're not liked, then they get punted down the road. And I'm not sure why that is. We have dragged this damn thing out since January. And here we are, freaking May, mid-May, and we're still saying, well, we may sell this, we may not. No, we've made a decision, and it keeps dragging, and it keeps becoming, we either going to sell a stupid thing or not. We try to nurture this in wrong. We try to drag it along. And I get why we're patient. I get that we're hamstringed on an employee. But 4 months, 5 months, 4 months of this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. This should have been a lot further along. We've authorized a realtor.
And I went after the realtors.
And I'm just saying...
Didn't I? I went after the realtors.
And Jim, you've done a great job.
Yeah.
You picked up, and I'm just a little frustrated because it seems like that there's been a less than any enthusiasm on executing this. And it's fine, you know, if we don't want to sell a stupid thing, then that decision that shifts past. I just want to see an execution of a decision done. So.
I can see it's probably my fault because we started working on it right after that meeting, and we got the bids out for the water, and then we started working on that. We were looking for the ad we put in the paper, and so that following Monday, Jim was gone, and I'm getting calls from everywhere to do everything. And I guess that's kind of an excuse, but we, you know, I just thought, well, I've got to do blue stakes, I got to do all of these other things.
Yeah,
I kind of put it in the back because I had other things that seemed more important. That's
and if that was the only week,
I'm kind of confused about the 4 months since January because Jim did call up all the realtors. He brought back the information and told you what they said and everything, but the board didn't really come down and say, hire a realtor, or he brought the information.
There was a lot of administrative work that needed to be done, and there was a lot of gaps in it. Yes, getting a realtor is part of it. We were used the navigator, Gail McCagney was to hold our hand through this process. When the discussion with Gail comes, there was a lot of questions that I still had that wasn't answered by the conversation you had with Gail. So there was an uncertainty there. I brought it up multiple times. How do we widely advertise this, but yet still use a realtor? Do we say 60 days? we'll take offers with the realtor? Do we, you know, what does that look like? And the answer back is that I don't know. And then there was no follow-up. So I thought, okay, let's just kick it out, because I do understand you're getting pulled 50 different ways. And I know that the stress is unneeded and is causing this special project of getting rid of the stupid, time-consuming land that I'm getting so sick of having, because it is an unnecessary headache for you guys and for the board. But above all, I feel like I don't want to put more on you guys to make it go, but if there's just, we're just about there. We're just, I mean, we're so close to getting it, and we got a $200,000 more offer now, and we're still playing patty cake, and it's like, you know, why are we so dysfunctional? And that really ticks me off. It seems like the board and the management, we're tripping over each other, and it's just dragging things up. And it's like, it should be cleaner than this. And that's what makes me, and I'm frustrated about that, because on one hand I'm sitting there thinking, we've got to get, you know, the help that these guys need so they can, you know, these special projects should never go away. We ought to come to the grips on that. It just seems like it's pop one up after another. It's not one-off deals. So we got to count that as part of the workload. And so, to you guys take care of what that, no, they can't. That's why we're hiring another guy. That's why we're going to be discussing it in just a moment. But what frustrates me is just like, just to tie the loose ends of this, we're so close. So simple, you know. If you can't get it, call me. Say, hey, I can't get this posted. Can you throw it on KSL? Karen's too busy, or if you're too busy, have Karen call me. One of the boards can do it. Working this negotiation with Chris. You know, I've spent a lot of time figuring and doing on that. So it's not like I haven't done anything for free. I have, and Dan's come. You guys have all participated, so there's not a reluctance to help. It's, the resources are there, but we're just not executing. And that is so frustrating. It's like we can get this burden off you guys. We could. And we can get a pretty stinking good price out of it, apparently. But we can get it off you. We don't have to worry about the stupid lease. We don't have to worry, or the farm part of the lease where we have to pour the water. We don't have to worry about the land. All this stuff could go away if we just get rid of this stupid property. I'm not saying the next price on
it. With that being said, there's not much we can do about backing up. We just got to go forward. So let's get it listed.
Well, yeah, I get it. I'm just saying that we can get this done and off our back. It's just, well, somebody's got to take the bull by the horns and execute.
Right. And if Jim's off work, Jim's off work. It shouldn't be relied on Jim to do all the side stuff that he's the, you know, dicks and that's going to fall on.
I don't even know why you're here.
Well, if you're off, Jim, you are off. Well,
I know, but
don't feel like that your time off is Johnson's time, because it's not.
He conducted all these interviews on his time off, too. And
it's unneeded.
No.
It is needed. I need help. That's why I'm here. I'm going to come in.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, I get it. Yes, I agree.
I'm invested in this.
I would do the
same. That's my investment to this, is my time here, and I will put my time in. But
I would do the same. I agree. But I'm saying that I hate that is where we're at, I guess, is what's frustrating me. Right. Is that we're at that point where it's like, I'm off, but am I?
Well, it's just the management, I guess, as far as if you need somebody to help you, like Dusty said, reach out. We can help with these things. That's what we're here for as well.
And do we want to put a sign up for this, if that's going to cost money, if you're going to accept a bid?
Well,
can we get more though?
I don't. I'm not comfortable accepting the first thing. Okay. We haven't advertised it wide
enough. No, and that's
I'm pedaling backwards thinking, well, did I do something wrong in telling him? But no, because we agreed to have it.
Well, people's asked me, I've told them that it's for sale. I mean, the word of mouth's there, but I don't feel comfortable that we've had enough advertising.
No,
anyway.
Not at all.
And that's what I'm saying is, like, if we're, like, you know, if we're two steps from home base, throw me that, or throw me, just say, hey, can you throw, it takes 2 minutes to put on KSL. You've already done the groundwork, and it takes just 2 minutes. And in not knowing, I'm not going to buy not knowing how. I will buy the equipment, but not knowing how, I won't accept that. Because you can learn how to do things. You've proved that. So let me tell you this, just so I get down with what I'm trying to say, is if it comes down to priorities like you had this week, you know, some things come our way and some things don't. I assume that you got it covered if it don't come my way. If it does come my way, I will engage where I can. And I've had to engage everybody at one time. So it's not an impossible task. Don't be afraid to ask. And we don't want, my frustration comes not because of a lack of trying, it's a lack of executing and saying we could have this headache off of us and we don't have to sit here in this meeting and talk about this anymore. That's where my frustration comes. And like I said, my assumption is we've already done this once, so we don't need to recreate the will. So we take this.
Is that what you want?
And we can post it. This is how it has to be until we can do anything different. There's no other way.
No price.
It's just like
accepting offers.
And is it list to lease?
Yeah, right now it's still this, but we can remove that if it becomes that, but right now we're not in that situation.
Right.
And you just take all the calls on it?
And if you want to, the calls on it can be, you know, via email. You can put how to contact. You don't have to put phone number in there. You can via email.
Okay.
You know, contact Johnson Water at Hotmail.
And then share the emails might be best through all of you guys.
Yeah, because all you're doing is just taking the offers. You're going to have people calling and ask questions, or emailing and ask questions, and, you know, if you just kick it out and we can answer the questions. But as far as it goes, you don't have to actually put a number on there, a phone number. But if you want me to put it on, I'll put it on.
I can put it on.
It's just a matter of if we don't want to sell it, then let's just forget the stupid thing. But we've already made the decision. Because what we're faced with is we're in this weird limbo where we're selling it, but we're not selling it. And that's dragging it. That's even created a big burden and a big hassle.
Okay, so, Karen, can you take that? Do we need to make any changes to it?
Yeah, submitted. Close bid by noon on July 20th, 2021. I'll just
make offer.
Make offers. Submit them to email.
Or
by mail.
And put on there we have the right to accept or reject any offer.
Yeah, it's on here.
So then,
we're covered.
What day do you have to have it in the newspaper by? Thursday.
Do we want to?
Do we want to spend $500 to run it in the newspaper? Because we felt, and we talked about this last time, KSL, Facebook, a sign would cover us. The newspaper is expensive.
Well, and
who reads the newspaper?
I don't think that we get the turnout. But we've had people say, who reads the newspaper? That isn't widely advertising. And so, well, there's other mechanisms. The word of mouth and given some time is the best right now. The best advertising you can give. You're never going to satisfy everybody. There's, you know, people, I don't have Facebook, I don't have KSL. Well, we have a sign, you know.
So if we have a sign up, we can just reference our website for them to look at for more information?
Or Facebook or whatever we have it on.
Yeah, I wouldn't reference a phone number.
If we print it on Facebook, just reference Johnson Water Facebook and have it on the page. That's an easy enough way to do it.
Where do we stick the sign? Right out front here and say...
Inquire within.
What? Oh, and
it's a little confusing because it's an island out there. It's not. We're not selling the building.
Well, I didn't think you just have that picture on that.
On the sign.
That you know,
yeah.
You just land for sell that information, and then they can email it. They can.
So is that like a signs and lines or something? Or
would that be more of a theme spot?
How long is that going to take to get to?
Well, I don't, you could just...
I think just land for sale. It's 60.89 acres for sale with the shares of Dry Gulch.
They have
buy a big for sale sign and stick that in the corner.
Just point this way and
make
and
some flyers.
Have that stuck to it and they can figure it out.
We can take a piece of PVC and roll up some flyers inside with more information.
Okay.
And it's just, all we're doing is just widely advertising it as much as we can. If we decide to kick it to a realtor because it's easier, all we do, we've got to have some time under our belt. We can't accept this right now because we just haven't
been widely advertised. Yeah,
we haven't been widely advertising it. So
stay out of.
And I guess that's, they give us some time anyway, right? We'll have another board meeting, so, and we'll probably have more offers by then. So, but we can't do anything until we can say that we've had, a decent amount of time, and
so
we can put this behind us real quick.
So, question: are these going to be public information as far as?
Are we advertising what the offers are?
Right. So I don't know if that was the intent. I don't know.
I just thought we would just take offers and then evaluate.
Okay.
I didn't, because we had a little bit of time.
Okay.
Well, it's just like a realtor. We have an offer in at this amount. Why can't we?
We could.
Right. We just need to decide if that's what we're
going
to
do. There's other caveats in there, and I don't know how that would be. If somebody says, I'll give you $750,000 if you put gold in there. There's caveats that can affect the price.
Right.
This does...
So I think the purpose of this whole thing is to maximize our investment, get as much money out of it as we can. So, obviously it's better now than it was a couple months ago.
And like I said, and Chris comes back and he says no, he said, and then we'll leave it alone. If he says yes, then we can modify it. That's fine. But it'll be part of just the process. But the key is to get it out and noticed.
So who's putting it on Facebook? You are? And also
the website and KSL.
So you,
and you don't have to actually put it all once. You can just get it on one form. Just start,
Okay.
We just got to get it started, and then add in the next day or two, whatever, when you get back. But if we just get it out on something.
So where do you get the big for sale signs? Or is that something you can...
Just go down to Stewart's and get as big as one as we can get.
You can buy one and just...
Land, yeah, for sale. Oh my. But, like I said, it's just, my biggest worry is we just have to get it advertised and get some time under our belt. That's all. Then we can evaluate the bids, because right now we're not in a position to evaluate. We're not. We're hamstringing ourselves on a simple legality.
And we need to figure out the leasee as well before we probably...
We can't accept anything until we get that figured out.
And that's what I mean as far as disclosing what has been offered. I think we need to take care of Chris Burry.
Well, we need to answer one way or another, and he indicated it would be soon. I don't think it would be. We can't have a draw out. He should be able to make a decision soon, next couple days. So, let's, because Chris is sitting on that, we'll just, get this going, and I'll get an answer from Chris, and then we can evaluate whatever bids come in or offers. Because that'll change some. That'll take some players out.
Yep.
So until we get that answer. But like I said, I apologize for losing my cool. But it's just like, man, we're hamstringing ourselves because we just need to get it out so we can say we're advertising it. We can work out some of the details as they come in. At least we're saying it's open, because there's details we haven't even thought of that we'd probably still have to answer and adjust.
Well, and to reiterate, this process was not because of this developer. Just so everybody's aware of that.
Well, I know. I told you my motivation.
Right. If this was an inquiry that was in place while we were talking about a realtor. He's interested in the land, amongst other people as well. So.
Well, I've been hit up. But like I told Jim today or Karen, when they said until they actually put it out on paper and money, I'm not.
There's been a lot of talk, a lot of people inquiring, but nothing on paper yet.
Yeah, I get texts. Hey, you still for sale? Are you going to put that up? I said it's on.
It just happened to be he contacted me, and that's the direction I gave him. So.
So what is the deal on the city sewer and stuff? How?
To maximize his investment.
Well, I just wonder, elevation-wise and stuff, where do we...
It would flow.
Hit a,
yeah.
So we don't hit a break point.
Yeah.
And there may be some static there.
Yeah.
Is that coming up to 2000?
Yeah. Well, it's already there.
Airport Road.
It's already there in 2000.
So you're 5168 there.
And if not, there's options to pump. They come along with it.
So it's flat, basically. 5169.
It's
flat from there to there.
We're about 10 feet where it ends at the airport.
So. And you're 20 feet lower down here at 3000. So.
I didn't remember being that low. We tied on to it there for old JCI.
Right. Oh, I do remember. I helped you on that project. I remember that. That was a while ago. So anyway, again, as we work through, and hopefully, you know, in just a few minutes, we can decide if we're going to hire one of these gentlemen, and that'll help bring some more stability to what we're doing, the workload wise and the stress. But you know, the board's going to have to pitch in, period, until we can get this figured out. If it's something you can't reasonably handle, pitch it. Especially if it's critical stuff. I don't know what else to do until we get it done. I really don't. I appreciate what you guys have done. I recognize that you guys have had more than you should have. causing a lot of frustration in more than one way.
No, it's my fault, because I knew you wanted on as soon as possible, but things just kind of get in the way, and it's no excuse, but I have a lot of things coming at me from different directions as far as fracking and testing and all kinds of stuff. And tell you the truth, it kind of, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, if I didn't think it was as urgent as you guys did. That's what the thing was. And so I was thinking it'll wait until Tim gets back and he's on vacation, and I should have pushed it. So I'm sorry.
Well, my agency is tired of looking at it. That part of it. And tired of having it be a burden on you guys, and the decision's already been made. And so if the decision's made, let's execute it so we can get rid of it. I'm kind of that, you know, if we can get rid of the headache, let's do it. If we already made that decision, let's move it. And if we can't...
Well, I think it's been discussed and considered where it's headed right now. So let's go forward.
So next thing, we need to go, unless you guys don't want to say anything, next we just get a closed session to discuss these guys, these three candidates. So we'll have
to move that we go to closed session to discuss the candidates.
Drew has moved to go to closed session. Dan seconded it. We will do it by roll call. Dan Crozier?
Yes.
Greshler?
Yay.
Paul?
Yes.
And Chair is yay. We'll now go into closed session.